You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your Saturday recap for this week's Masters. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. And Greg, another soggy, sloppy day around Augusta National, one where we did not finish round number three.
But at least we finished round number two.
That is correct.
That was huge. And we got a good chunk out of round number three underway. Leaders are on number seven right now. And with tomorrow's forecast, there's a really good chance that we finish this thing off tomorrow, which is a good sign. So we were really close to what we were hoping for, Rick. Let you know, round three and four
That's
be
true.
Sunday. We're pretty close to that.
That's actually true. Yeah. Six holes by the leaders is how far they got. So here's what has happened today. We'll take it through a little bit chronologically. So we did indeed complete round two this morning, Saturday morning. We sat here last night, Greg, and we were like, oh man, that Tiger guy, he's got to start on number 12. He's got to hit that shot. Well, pars 12, pars 13, pars 14, makes birdie on 15, and now we're in full-on cut sweat mode for Tiger this morning in what were freezing, miserable conditions.
And you know, you mentioned that he parred 12, but he stuffed it in there. I mean, he has like 4 feet.
Over the flag. Yeah, he actually yanked his putt. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, it was a really bad putt. But he was in really good shape, and then we got a little bit of drama as Tiger was coming down the stretch and made a couple of bogeys. What did he bogey? 17 and 18.
17 and 18. And at the time, moved him to plus three, which was outside the cut line.
Right. And there were two players on the golf course also at plus two, Sung Jae-im and Justin Thomas.
Right.
And we needed those two players to one of them had to get out at three over.
That's Josh's browser playing the cheering there, I think, as we are showing the scorecards on masters.com, because we thought we would have graphics from HQ tonight. But yes, so it comes down to one of Justin Thomas or Sung Jae-im have to basically make a bogey. They got to play one over. 17 and 18 were playing very, very difficult. Sung Jae-im gets in, and JT, Tiger Woods' buddy, actually does a little bit too much. Greg, he goes bogey, bogey on 17 and 18, shooting in, I think he shot 42 coming in, 42 coming in. Is that right? Am I doing the math right? Double? He played a two over, three over, four over, five, six over, 36, 42. Yes, I can do 36 plus six. Shoots a 42 and misses the cut himself.
Right. Oh, just, I mean, here's the thing. 15 for one plays completely different. Because it's not even close to reachable. I mean, these guys are hitting tee shots that are flying 260. It's a completely different game. And then when you have wedge shots, there's skip, there's spin.
Yeah.
Right. It's like that delayed spin, which is kind of wild to watch. When you have those back hole locations, like 15 and round two was in the back. And JT, actually, the shot he hit at 15 was so good. It was around the hole for so long. And then it finally grabs and spins back. And I mean, there was a moment you thought it was going to go into the water. So look, that was, I thought, a well-played shot. by JT, but it just speaks to the unpredictability that you have when you're playing in rain like this.
So a couple of items here. So Justin Thomas actually did a walk and talk this morning in round two. And I'll actually say shout out to Trevor. I like when one guy asks the questions. I don't like when they bounce them around. So it was like five straight questions from Trevor. I'm in on that. That's the best form of the walk and talk.
I agree. There's a few reasons to it as well. You know, when you're preparing for an interview, there's a line that you want to go down, right? You want to take it down a certain path. And when multiple people come into play, it can throw off the path. And it also limits the ability for follow-ups.
Correct.
Unless everybody's really on the same page and everybody understands. Because if you prepare a question and you just ask your question, then it goes all over the place. But if you say, okay, well, JT just said this, and I want to know more about this, all of a sudden you get something really interesting. And that's much easier to do when there's only one person asking.
Agree. So another nugget about that walk and talk is they were asking him about what he was drinking. He said, oh, it's a protein shake. I have a long day ahead of me. Foreshadowing. He did not have a long day ahead of him. He only had a few more holes to play. But my larger point here being, Greg, that he was kind of saying, in conditions like this, it was actively raining / pouring. Throw it out the window. Nothing you have, any experience that you have from earlier in the week, throw it out the window, because I don't hit my clubs as far. I'm constantly trying to keep my golf ball and my club face dry. There are a million different variables, and now they're guessing at most of them.
Right. And you think about what is required at Augusta National, things we typically talk about, they all go out the window, such as distance control. Right? It's so important to be able to control your distance, and now you're guessing at it. The start lines of your shots are a complete variable. And you saw a lot of players like Cam Young, for instance, hit a number of tee shots where it looks like the ball just slips off the face and it goes way right. So it adds multiple layers of difficulty, multiple layers of challenges. And even in the area where you think it might get easier because it gets a little more receptive, a little softer, it doesn't really play that way because there's so much skid. So the ball actually still takes some pretty big bounces. But what happens after that with the spin becomes really difficult to predict.
Tiger in, Justin Thomas out. And if you put, which we already knew, Rory McIlroy out from, we knew that yesterday. The first time in their careers that Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas have both missed the cut at the same major. They played in 29 major championships, or this was the 29th. So we've got an absence of both of those guys over the final two rounds.
Yeah, a rare sight.
Especially at the Masters, where like making the cut's kind of easy.
And you expect both of those guys. It seems like their games fit the Masters so well, right? Mm-hmm. You expect them to be a part of the story, and not just on Thursday and Friday. So yeah, that's a very strange thing. Very, very strange on both their parts.
Fast forwarding to round three, or really the break in between. So you and I were kind of talking before we went hot. It was like, okay, it's still raining. When are these guys going to get out there? And then what we saw was essentially a break from tradition, Greg. I don't know how often we've gone off split tees at the Masters, but we went off split tees 1 and 10 for round three so that we could kind of get as much golf in as possible.
It does happen periodically, but only in circumstances of weather. In fact, in 2019, when Tiger won the Masters, they did split tees and threesomes.
I remember that, yeah.
But there was no weather at the time. They were trying to get it in before the weather. So it was a morning start on Sunday. I think in Jack Nicklaus's final Masters, he finished on the ninth green for a similar circumstance.
Interesting.
I believe so, but I could be wrong. So anyway, it happens periodically. They tend to do it at the right times, because you want to finish this tournament on Sunday, and they're willing and able to adjust, and they typically do it the right way.
There was there was a window where there was no active rain. It was still cold. It was still obviously wet out there, but it is such a different dynamic when it is actually raining versus when it is not actually raining. So we got a little bit of a window, and then it started to come down. And you and I were talking, like, it was just a matter of time before they had to pull the plug on this.
Yes. There were a couple of moments where you saw pictures of these greens and they were, it was kind of jarring. Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking about this before we went on air, as round two was finishing up, they're showing pictures of, I believe it was the green at hole number 12. And there was so much water on it. And then Scottie Scheffler's hitting balls on the range. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a little while before they go, because they hadn't made a decision. They hadn't announced tee times yet. Right. You could see how much it's puddling up there.
Yeah. This was before the start of round three.
Right. I'm thinking this is going to be a little while. So I went outside, got some things done in the yard that I had to get done. And I came back in and it wasn't even raining. I was like, what has happened? They must've put the dome up. That's what happened. And then, I guess there was a leak.
A little leak, yeah. Things were tough. They got very tough, but we did see a couple of decent rounds. Sung J-im is 3-under through 7 holes. He started on the back, closer to the top of the leaderboard. Matt Fitzpatrick, 3-under through 11. He has moved to 5-under par for the championship. Patrick Cantlay, 3-under through 13. He has moved to 5-under for the championship. So we saw a couple of decent rounds out there, but most guys are playing in black numbers here.
Yes. And again, we've highlighted the reasons for that multiple times. The length is one thing, and it may even be the biggest factor. I mean, you're hitting such long shots into these greens, and deciding what club to pull is incredibly challenging. You're guessing completely. And some guys are taking too much club. They're kind of overdoing it. And then the ball's coming in flatter. It's getting pelted down by the rain. So the ball is staying in the air for a significantly shorter period of time. And then it's coming into the greens and now it's subject to that skid. And then when you get around the greens, you have the skid and it's difficult to predict and difficult to judge. And all of a sudden you have guys shooting over par. It's simply hard, but I think tomorrow is going to be a different story.
Scotty's tee shot on 12. It says he hit it 160 yards. He was like 20 yards long. He hit it into the golden bells, into the flowers, into that crap in the back, like flew it in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that's one of those things where you feel like you got to take two extra clubs, and then you catch one that comes out a little bit low and it just launches right through it. It's nearly impossible. I don't think that it's a skill thing at that point, especially when you have, you know, trouble in front of the green. You have to make sure that you get over Ray's Creek, of course. You can see some bigger differences in between clubs, which is kind of odd. I guess that's what happened to Scotty.
Yeah, he got stuck in between there. Flushed it though, absolutely flushed it. A couple of past champions at the bottom of the leaderboard, though they've made the cut, they are struggling. Dustin Johnson, our 2020 champion, 6-over for round number 3, moves him to 5-over for the championship. Charles Schwartzel struggling, 3-over for the day, moving him to 6-over for the championship. And the big cat is at the bottom of the leaderboard of those who have made the cut. We kind of thought this last night, Greg, that this wasn't necessarily likely to be pretty for Tiger. You know, you have a situation where he's going to be asked to play a lot of golf. It's cold. It is wet. It is slippery. The ground is soft. All of the things that we hear about walking this golf course and things that make walking golf courses very difficult, all of them happen today.
Yes. And the temperature probably affects Tiger more than anybody else because of the leg injury, of course, the back injury. His age may even become a factor here. So it really challenging for Tiger, really hard to watch. Although he did hit some really nice shots in there today in round two, I would say. It's just been a struggle. It's been a slog. The ball speeds have come way down, as they have for everybody, but even more. I mean, you're talking like 15 miles an hour slower ball speed with the driver. So it's a lot of disappointing swings from Tiger so far.
Yeah. So he makes a mess of 15, spins back into the water, a mess of 16, hits it into the water. So he's only played seven holes, and he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 over par.
The one on 16, I mean, you're talking about a 40 yard miss to the left,
right?
Or close. I mean, it's a hole location up on that right shelf, towards the front of the green, at least towards the front of that shelf. And he landed it in the water.
This is the problem that we talked about yesterday. The problem now is tomorrow. Is he going to play 27 holes tomorrow? Or, I mean, more than that, is he going to play 30 holes tomorrow?
Yeah. I guess he has a little bit of time to recover, and we'll see how he's feeling after this. I imagine it's not very good. It's not going to be very fun getting in an ice bath tonight. How many holes did he play? He's through seven. He played, what, 8 holes this morning? So, you know, he played a half a round today, but a really hard half a round. That's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I don't know. I have a feeling we'll see him at least tee it up tomorrow. Possibly finish.
What was the
possibility?
What was the event? Was it the PGA Championship that he withdrew after the third round?
Yes.
Right. Why? He was out of it and he was hurt, right?
Yeah, he was hurt. It was, that's exactly right. It wasn't going well.
It was a business decision. And it was like, hey, I'm going to think about this long term as opposed to short term.
Yeah. And he had the Open Championship on his mind.
Yeah.
Which was a big one. I'm not sure that he's looking at, I would say he's very likely not looking at where are we going, Hoylake, Royal Liverpool, for this Open Championship. And even though he's won there, there's no way he's looking at that in the same light as St. Andrews. So this kind of seems like the last hurrah of the year. So maybe he does try to push through and finish all 72 holes.
Okay. Let's talk about this final group. It was Koepka, Rahm, and Sam Bennett, the amateur. All right. We have to address the elephant in the room here. We're obviously a CBS Sports entity, but there was a general lack of coverage of that final group today. They were not in the featured group. And unfortunately, because of the way that tee times occurred, they basically barely made it to the broadcast, Greg, because they were already on the fifth or sixth hole or something like that when the broadcast came on. I know this is tough. I know there are contracts and really smart people and there's a lot of money and a lot of stuff. Like, we've got to come together and figure this out.
Yeah, we got to be able to adjust a little bit better. And look, I've been a part of these things. They're very challenging. There are people working very hard on this behind the scenes, trying to get everything organized. But when you're in a situation like this, you have to understand that the most important group on the golf course, especially in this tournament, is the final group. That's typically the case, but it's accentuated in this event because they're kind of running away with it. And we can't go that long without seeing them at all. Now, you did have an opportunity to catch them on 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
But you got to be following really closely to catch on to that. I don't know what the numbers look like, but 4, 5, and 6 is likely not the most popular featured hole coverage to be on.
Amen Corner would be much more popular, I imagine.
Right. And then you have even 15 and 16, I would imagine, are more popular. And so then you have a featured group, which is pretty, you know, pretty good. You got Scheffler's group. You got Tiger's group.
It was good featured groups, but this can't not be a featured group. This has to, if we're going to do it this way, where they're not going to get on the coverage until they're on the fifth hole or whatever, they have to be a featured group.
Right. You gotta adjust accordingly. And look, even if you have every shot, like this is, The saving grace in this is that you can watch the tape, but it's different than getting the coverage. So, Rick, we're studying this to talk about it, to know what's happening in the tournament. We're going to go and watch the tape and watch the shots that all these guys hit to see what it means for the rest of the tournament. And well, I mean, fandom is also a part of it, but we're doing this for work. But most people aren't watching on a TV, getting their computer out and going through, watching the tape, taking notes. So, but the point of that is we have cameras on them,
right?
We got to get it. We got to get your featured group, announcers just announcing what that group does. You got to make that pivot.
Got to make it happen.
And I know it's hard, but it's got to be possible.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We'll start with Sam Bennett here. Sam Bennett, the amateur who has been making waves. Augusta National announced the purse. $18 million up from $15 last year, which actually makes first place. Stand by, Greg. I'm going to get the number for you, buddy.
What, 3.36 or something?
3.24.
3.24. Okay.
Now, I will say this, Greg, and I have not mentioned this yet. You realize I have Brooks Koepka in the one and done, right?
Yes, I know that.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Just making sure everybody's aware that I have Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, which is so funny, Rick, because it's I mean, we got to play the tape of you announcing that you have him.
No, I think I was very scared.
It wasn't that, hey, I think Brooks is going to win. This was, I don't have anyone left.
or I definitely won't have anyone left if I don't use Brooks right now.
So this one, I think it worked out in your favor.
So when I saw, well, obviously I knew I had Koepka, but I was like, okay, they're going to release this purse. I hope it's $100 million. I hope, something outrageous. 18 million, 3.2 for first, 1.9 for second, 1.2 for third. You know who will get $0? Sam Bennett, the amateur who is playing in the final group with Brooks Koepka and John Rahm. A little bit of a wobbly start out of the gate. He bogeys one, he bogeys two, and then he starts to settle in a little bit. Four straight pars before play was suspended in round three. He is still, Greg, a solo third, three shots behind Rahm, seven behind Koepka.
Yeah, he's doing what he should be doing. Again, those first two tee shots, he hit them both to the left, which we haven't seen him do all week. I mean, he really has played mistake-free golf, and he hasn't made the birdies that Koepka or Rahm have made, obviously, but he has avoided the mistakes, and that's why he's sitting right now in solo third. So really, really cool opportunity. I mean, I was thinking about this today. Just consider who he's played with this week. Now, it's tradition that the U.S. amateur plays with the defending champion. So you get Scottie Scheffler. Now, the defending champion happens to be number one in the world. So that's pretty special. You get number five in the world, Max Homa. And then you get Koepka and Rahm for the weekend. I mean, that is some really special stuff. And he's obviously hanging in there. I mean, he beat Scheffler and Rahm handily, or Scheffler and Homa handily, and now he's holding his own with Rahm and Koepka. The kid's got game. It's been really fun to watch.
Yeah, he's balling out. He's giving great answers in his pressers. He's got a ton of confidence, and he's got back-to-back 68s that he is going to try to continue with a round and a half to go. The two big dogs and the odds makers have essentially turned this thing into a two-horse race, Brooks Koepka and John Rahm. We'll start with Rahm, 9 under par. He is 4 shots off the lead being set by Brooks Koepka right now. He did what he had to do by birdieing number two. He gave them gave that back and another one back on 4 and 5. I thought he's been okay, Greg, in the third round, a couple of weak efforts, but I don't think he's been horrible. His finishing his second round was phenomenal. Hasn't been able to kind of carry that over into round three thus far.
No, although so a couple things with Rahm here. One, the second shot he hit at number two was phenomenal,
unreal.
I mean, you have to go to masters.com, click Rahm's name.
Go to masters.com.
Number two.
Click leaderboard. Click yes. John Rahm. Click yes. videos. Go to number two, round three, shot two. Then you'll be able to see it.
Yep. You'll see it. It's so good. You don't even have to click videos. You just scroll down. It'll be playing somewhere.
I exaggerated.
You heard a clip of that on today's show already. So you just scroll down a little bit. He'll be playing. Click on hole number two, and you'll see a phenomenal shot. He misses that putt. Then at number four, he hit a terrible tee shot, way right, and had to play not even towards the flagstick. He missed it to the right. The whole location's in that narrow tongue in the front portion of the green. So he's got to play to the back left portion, and then he nearly holed the pitch shot. The third shot he hit there was so good. Meanwhile, well, anyway, we'll get to Koepka in a minute. But so then he hits it on the green on five, which is a no easy task. He actually had it up on the right level, although a little ways to the left, and he three putted, which was disappointing. But right now on seven, he's got probably 12 feet or so for birdie. Koepka has a par putt of probably 12 feet as well. I'm not sure who's going to go first there. They're similar distances, but I tell you what, Rahm has hit some really high quality shots with the exception of the second at number four. He's looked really good so far.
Yeah, he has. So play has been suspended. Obviously, we've been talking about that. Greg is absolutely right. Rahm's got a birdie putt upcoming on seven. Then he's got number eight, which has been the easiest hole all week long. So we might see some fireworks immediately out of the gate from the final group when this thing does resume on Sunday morning. Brooks Koepka. My goodness, Brooks Koepka. So where do we start? He hasn't made a bogey, Greg, since Thursday at 13. He's nope. been clinical. He's been flawless. Now he might make bogey here at seven when we return. But I mean, this is vintage Brooks. This has been domination.
Domination. And again, it's been complete, right? He drives it into the bunker at number one and hits it right next to Rahm's ball. They both kind of came up short, fed off that false front a little bit, and he hit a nice pitch and got that up and down. He hit it into the bunker at number two, got that up and down. And then at number four, number four, he hit it into the left bunker and hit it, which is usually a no-no, and he got that up and down, which was a great shot. So his short game has been as good as he's hit the ball, better than anyone else in the field. His short game has been rock solid too.
My favorite shot was five, where he was like 240 yards away in the pine straw up the hill, and he just like nukes one to the front of the green. I mean, I know the guy's strong and he's fast again because he looks like he's healthy, but he is absolutely dialed.
And then the two putt from there. I mean, that is no easy task. You got to go up a slope, down a slope with feet of break. And all of a sudden he leaves himself a tap in. It was just phenomenal touch. And, you know, in all that we have kind of been missing from Brooks Koepka, we haven't seen a lot of him. He hasn't been in these kind of situations in the public eye in a long time. And coming back from injury, it's one thing to get your ball striking under control, to understand what your golf swing needs to be like in order to have success. But when you get out of position, are you able to get back in position quickly? And yeah. And he has done that on every single occasion. I mean, you could hit the ball like Brooks Koepka and be at 8 under par right now very easily without a rock solid short game. And he's had a rock solid short game right now.
This tournament has had so many ebbs and flows to it and starts and stops and all that fun stuff. Koepka got the best end of the weather draw, had a lead. And then when he finally had to get out there in bad conditions, he extended his lead. Like it just could not be going any better. He's taken advantage of everything. He's played great. And he's 4 shots clear of the rest of the field.
He is equipped to handle bad weather. A lot of people may not realize this, but when Brooks got out of college and started to play professional golf, he went over and played in Europe on the Challenge Tour, which is the equivalent of the Korn Ferry Tour for the DP World Tour, then European Tour. And he played, he made his way through Europe. And I'll tell you what, if you listen to what his mother has said about the journey that Brooks went on the Challenge Tour, it included a lot of golf in a row and a lot of bad weather, that he fought through. So he has proven himself in this weather, throughout his entire career. And I don't think this is something that's going to hinder a Brooks Koepka. There are other players that it really hinders. He's just not one of them.
No, certainly not. Let's zoom out a little bit here, because obviously one of the big storylines for the year and one of the big storylines for major championships is that the LIV golfers are here. And now that we've finally made the cut, we can kind of look back and see how they've done thus far. By my count, I've got 11 out of 18 through the cut line, with Koepka leading by 4. We've got, where's Phil? Phil is 4 under. Yeah, T8, which I completely thought there was no chance he was going to contend. Neiman is T8 as well. Reed is T17. Just Cam Smith, T23. We already talked about Dustin Johnson. Those are kind of the notables. Would you say that the LIV guys are over exceeding their expectations?
It depends on whose expectations you're looking at, right? Sure. I mean, this is a big factor to consider here. There are so many LIV players here because there are so many Masters champions who are on LIV. Right, a big number of Masters champions have gone over. You consider Dustin Johnson and Schwartzel and Reed and Mickelson. You got a handful of Masters champions playing on that tour, and then with the players who, maybe a little bit younger, you add Koepka into the mix, you add Cam Smith into the mix, and Joaquin Neiman into the mix, and those are very capable players, right? They were very capable last year. And I don't think that 6 months on a different tour, inhibits your ability by that much. We may find out that it doesn't inhibit your ability at all. For that reason, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me to see Phil Mickelson playing well at Augusta National. He always plays well at Augusta National. It doesn't surprise me to see Joaquin Neiman playing well. He's really good. And in 2022, he dominated the Genesis Invitational. You're right. He ends up going to LIV, but what is his talent just going to fall out the window as soon as he makes that decision? No. Cam Smith came and tied third here last year, solo third. He was right there, had a chance to win. And he's the most recent major champion. So no, that's not surprising to me at all. To have Brooks Koepka playing the way that he's playing, as perfect as it's been, yeah, that's a surprise to me. But not because he's a LIV golfer. I mean, that would be a surprise to me if it was anybody except Rahm, Scheffler, or McIlroy. If it's anybody else, if it's Max Homa, if it's Xander Schauffele, if it's anybody else in the world of golf, it's a surprising performance because it's been just that good.
Yeah, and I'd actually say, like, okay, Brooks Koepka is a 4-time major champion. He's at the top of the leaderboard. But I think the big question is, or was, like, only playing, or I guess playing fewer competitive rounds leading into a major championship Was that going to hinder their ability to play? I think at this point, resounding no is the answer to that question.
Yeah, I think so too. I'll be very curious when we get to a U.S. Open, a PGA champion. My guess is you're going to have a smaller number playing in the PGA. I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like.
Oh, I saw it a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if I can find it though.
But a PGA championship, a U.S. Open and an Open championship, when you go to some different venues, are you going to see this similar performance? Because I think these are players with great records at Augusta National. And we know, Rick, that playing Augusta National, course history and experience are extremely important. And the truth is that the LIV players have it. So they, whether or not they come in sharp or not, they seem to have the ability to find something here, which is true of players on LIV. It's true of players on the PGA Tour as well. So that would be my general takeaway. Why I'm not really surprised. Except for Koepka, he's surprising me.
A top 12, right, would get them back in. Would get anybody finishes in the top 12 gets in next year. Is that right? To the Masters.
To the Masters, yes. Right. And top four in the other majors gets into the Masters.
So really, I'm just kind of looking at some potential ramifications, because there's a lot of golf is going to be played on Sunday and these leaderboards can jump all around, but some subplots if you want to follow. Neiman would be the one who is not currently qualified for next year, right? Who, if he finished right inside the top 12, could get himself in the Masters, because he would have gotten in on his OWGR or his Riviera win, but he would not be qualified for next year unless he finishes inside the top 12.
Correct.
Or does something at another major.
And it would not be the Riviera win, I don't think. Unless you get 3 years. You get 3 years for the players.
I'm a year behind.
He would have played, yeah, right. He would have gotten in last year on his right Riviera win.
Correct.
So he's in on world golf rankings.
That's right.
And we know the trend. That's very unlikely to hold up for another year, being right in the top 50. Unless something dramatic changes. So yeah, that for him, that's a really big deal. And he's probably the most notable.
Yeah. And I think he's kind of the only one in, like, Mickelson's in for life. So it doesn't matter if it's T8 or T48, he'll be able to play. Reed, same thing. He's at T17. I'm just trying to see who else. Cam Smith, he's got a couple more years, obviously, because of his Open Championship win. So really the next, if I'm not missing anybody, the next guy would be Gooch, who's T37. So he would have some work to do
right
to get up there. So really Neiman is the one guy in position to get himself another Masters start.
And Koepka, I know he's
if
he doesn't win, he's definitely gonna finish in the top 12.
I forgot, yeah.
But his last major was 2019. So that would be the 20 Masters, 21, 22, 23. So next year would be his last,
right,
on that exemption. A right win obviously changes that for the rest of his life.
Makes you a lifer. Okay.
Yep.
Anything else here, Greg? We are obviously headed towards a long Sunday in which, barring any more weather interruptions, I think is going to be all good. And we're going to be able to get it in, and we're going to, maybe not this time tomorrow night, but in a couple hours tomorrow night, we will have somebody wearing a green jacket.
Yes. And it's pretty, pretty crazy. I mean, this has turned into a 2-horse race. I don't see any way that it's Sam Bennett at six right now. He's 7 shots back. Like, what do you have to make up? If you're Patrick Cantlay and you get in 14, can you get 3 more to close out this round? Can you get to 8? If you get to 8, what does the lead look like? I mean, would you be surprised tomorrow in better weather conditions if Koepka entered the final round at 15? No, not at all. I mean, I would expect him to. So for Cantlay, getting to 8 would be a great finish to the round. I mean, you shot 66 in round 3, and then you're still 7 shots back. So to me, this has become a 2-horse race.
Koepka -115, John Rahm +130. Nobody else shorter than 35-1. That's Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, for good reason. I mean, there's not enough time in the third round to make this interesting. And with the improving conditions, it's far less likely that you're going to have a struggle out of Koepka.
People will say this is boring, which I do not agree with. Could we get like a Royal Troon, Mickelson, Stenson, two guys? Like is Rahm going to beat third place by 5 shots and not win a major championship because Koepka got him?
Oh, it could very well happen. I mean, like, again, he's got a great birdie look at 7. Yeah. And Koepka's got a long par putt. Yeah. So okay. You could have a 2-shot swing right away tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I just looked it up. So I think Koepka has hold on, I want to get this right. Koepka's got 12 feet, I believe, for par. Rahm has 9 feet for birdie. You could get a 2-shot swing immediately out of the gate.
Right, which would be huge. Now all of a sudden the lead is 2 instead of 4, of course. And now it's game on, right? You go to number 8, a par 5, which both players have played very well this week. And in the better weather, you're not going to see what we are seeing all day today, where guys could barely get it over the hill in 2. They're going to hit it on the green in 2, assuming good tee shots. So yeah, there's a lot of opportunity left for fireworks. You get the second 9 twice tomorrow.
Oh, which, yeah.
Right. You know that for these guys.
That's cool.
Yeah. You get 2 second 9 charge opportunities, which I can't wait for.
That's sick. All right. This time tomorrow, we will have a new Masters champion. Will it be Brooks? Will it be John Rahm? Or will someone else steal a green jacket?
That would be such a steal.
Okay. If anybody else besides those 2 won, it would be like historic. Like it would be grounds for history at this point.
It, absolutely. Now, depending, like, what could Morikawa and Hovland are at 5, and they're only through 7. So if they go out and shoot 5 under the rest of the way in round 3 and get to 10, well, that might be much closer to, you're much more in touch at that point. Although, I mean, not if the lead's at 16.
That's the problem.
Right? That's a real problem. So I think 15 is, you should be expected. And I wouldn't be surprised if it went, if Koepka took it beyond 15.
Just through the third round.
Through the third round. Right. I'm trying to get a sense of where are these guys going to be with 18 holes to go.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be within 5 to really have my interest. I think if you're at 6 back, you need a Koepka meltdown, which is unlikely.
I think it's pretty unlikely. Yeah. Koepka melts down. So someone's going to have to just go absolutely insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there could be a mistake and he could make an error, but that's different than a meltdown. The meltdown to me is like, and I'm not trying to poke any fun here, but Greg Norman shooting 78.
I thought you were saying Jordan Spieth hitting 2 into the water on 12.
Jordan Spieth making an 8 on 12 is... it's a meltdown. But it could Koepka hit it in the water on 12? Yeah, but is anybody going to be close enough to take advantage should a mistake like that happen? Because a mistake is different than a meltdown.
Yep. And he's done so much good work to this point that he could probably survive a mistake or 2.
Right.
Just can't survive a meltdown. Nobody can. Nobody survives a meltdown. That's why it's called a meltdown. Okay. That'll do it. We'll be back tomorrow night somewhere. I don't know if we'll be here. I don't know if we'll be on HQ. I don't know if we'll be on both. We'll be somewhere after this round is complete and we have a new Masters champion. Big thanks, producer Josh, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme, available on Twitter at The Real GFD. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.